The fellowship with you this day and the music and the opportunities to knock on some doors and hand out a few tracts. Turn with me to John chapter 10, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Last Sunday night, we went through the entire chapter of 9 because of the context of the blind man being healed. As we get into chapter 10, we'll probably spend 3 weeks or so in this chapter. We want to take probably the first 9 or 10 verses here this evening. But notice as we begin in verse 1, he says in verse 1, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not into the door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, Father, we ask again this evening, Lord, for your blessings to be on the reading of thy scripture. God, again, we come here tonight as needy people. Lord, we look into these verses, and Lord, we study them, and we pray for illumination by the Holy Spirit that we might become better servants, that we might know more about our Savior. God, we just ask that your will to be done in each one of the lives here this evening and each one, the prayer request has been lifted up before you this day. Lord, we ask that you be attentive to each request. And again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for who that you are. Lord, watch it that you have accomplished for us, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In this chapter, we have the story of the Good Shepherd. And before we get started, let me ask you to turn, hold on here, and turn to two other verses. And let me just point out something very briefly to you. And one is 1 Peter 5, and the other one is Hebrews chapter 13. Now, as we begin here in chapter 10, we have in chapter 10 the good shepherd that is mentioned in verse 11. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Let me mention two other times we have him referred to as, let me just turn here in chapter 13 of Hebrews, and then in 1 Peter chapter 5. But notice in Hebrews chapter 13, he says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus," notice that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. John 10, he is called the Good Shepherd. And it says there he's called the Good Shepherd in relation to the cross, in relation to him giving his life for the sheep. So the Good Shepherd is referring to his death. As we come here in the Hebrews chapter 13, we find that he was brought again from the dead, and he said, "I'm the great shepherd of the sheep." We find here that the great shepherd is in association with his resurrection. And then as we come to 1 Peter chapter 5, these are three different aspects of the Lord's ministry. And as we look at this, we're going to find that he's called the chief shepherd, associated with his second coming. And what is interesting about this is when you come through the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 2 is dealing with the good shepherd, him going to the cross and dying. In Psalms chapter 23, my favorite psalm, is dealing with the Lord as the great shepherd, His ministry after His resurrection, Him seated at the right hand of the Father. And then as we come to 1 Peter chapter 5, this will relate to Psalms chapter 24 that has to do with His second coming. He said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So we find the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd, and find these in Psalms, and they're all associated with His death, His resurrection, and His second coming. Now back with me in the book of John in chapter 10, let me lay just a little bit of foundation here now and this evening. And as we come here, we find some words that are mentioned in this chapter that are very important words. We find the words, the shepherd, the good shepherd. We find the word sheep in this passage. We find the word in verse 1, the sheepfold. We find also the porter that is mentioned in verse 3. And then we find the issue of thieves and robbers in verse 1, the hireling in verse 12, and just the beginning of this chapter. Now, I want you to notice with me that as we come here this evening, that this chapter is dealing with the character and office of the Good Shepherd. As we come and begin looking at this, we find the allegory of shepherds and sheep in this passage. And I believe, without any doubt, that this chapter is connected very closely with chapter 9. Now, I never paid any attention to this until we came through this series in a slow verse-by-verse setting. I never really thought about it in this light. But he begins in verse 1, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and the robber." Now, I've read this many times over the years. I love chapter 10. I've preached out of chapter 10 many times. But I never connected it with chapter 9 until in this series. Now, why do I say it is connected with chapter 9? Well, if you back up with me and notice with me in chapter 9, and I'm going to read just a few verses here, and we find that in verse 1, he said, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which is blind, and from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answers this question. And then he says in verse 4, he talks about the work and the works of God. And then as we begin coming through this chapter, we find, like in verse 22, it says, "And these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." And so as we came through chapter 9, as in the other chapters, we find that his deity was challenged. The fact that he claimed to be the Son of God, there are many they said no, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the lawyers, many of them, they rejected the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now as we come down to verse 39, I want you to notice here, in this chapter, in verse 39. And we find here that he says, and Jesus, I'm still in chapter 9. He said, "And Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world, that they which see not my see, that they which see may be made blind." And some of the Pharisees, now keep in mind, the Pharisees throughout this chapter, they challenged his healing of the blind man. They challenged his claim that he was from heaven and that he was doing the work of God. They challenged these things. Then as we come into verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Now this is the chapter that we looked at last week. Now here's what I want to point out to you, is that as we step into chapter 10, I want you to understand this evening that the object of this parable, he begins this chapter with a parable. And the object of the parable in chapter 10 is to show that these Pharisees and these scribes, these religious leaders of Israel, Jesus is going to continue to show that they're unfit to be leaders of the people at this time. As a matter of fact, we find that he continues in chapter 10, he continues his remarks against those who are hostile toward him and his works and his miracles and his claims as being the Son of God. So as we step into chapter 10, I know that when you read this chapter, you're thinking about, well, he's the door, he's the shepherd, and that is true. We find those things in this chapter. But I want you to keep in mind that he continues his remarks of exposing the religious leaders, the Pharisees and so forth, as being false prophets and false ministers. Now, let's go back and let's begin in verse 1 and let's look at it in that light. Now, keep in mind, you got the word shepherd, the word porter, the word sheepfold. All of these are mentioned in this chapter. What is a sheepfold? Well, when you think about this and in the Palestine in the east there, the Middle East, we find that as shepherds would have their flock in the field many times, and where that they could graze and they could eat grass and have water and so forth to drink. Many times in a village, they would be one sheepfold. And this sheepfold, in other words, we would find that many shepherds would come in, and they would put their sheep together in this sheepfold. This sheepfold normally would not have a top or a roof over it. It might be made out of loose stones, or it might be made out of bushes that have thorns that's been planted close together. In other words, where nothing could escape out, or where that nothing could climb over. Keep in mind, the Lord is talking about here in verse 1 about some thieves and robbers that attempt to climb over the wall. And so you take now, there was a porter. What is a porter? He was a doorkeeper. And a porter would be key. He would be the individual that would guard the door. He might even lay in front of that door, sit in that door. And the shepherds would bring their sheep in by night. And they would all put their sheep together into this one sheepfold. Why? Because there's robbers and there's thieves and there's wild beasts. And so they wanted them protected at night. And then in the morning, the shepherd would come, the different shepherds would come, and all they would have to do is come and speak, and when the sheep of their fold would hear their voice, then those particular sheep would follow that shepherd, and they would not follow a stranger. Now that's what I want to do as we begin here, and we lay a foundation for this. Notice with me as we come back to verse 1. He said, verily, verily. Now notice the emphasis that the double verilies here is going to show us some outstanding truth as we begin this section. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door. Now, I'm going to talk about this door in just a moment. There is more than one door that is mentioned here in this passage. But let me come back and just for a moment here. This sheepfold. We have some, now listen, think about this as we go through this. There's some that suppose or pretend to be shepherds. They're thieves and robbers, and they attempt to get into the fold, the sheepfold, and steal or rob some sheep. And they would maybe climb over or whatever way that they can get in, but they do not enter through the door. Why? Because the porter is guarding the door. All right? And so they're safe as far as that is concerned. Now, one writer made this statement. And by the way, let me say this. Jesus enters the door. And I'm going to talk about this in a few moments. He came in the proper way. He did not climb over. You see, he came in the proper way. But one writer, talking about sheep, and this is a loose quote, but he said, in spite of that sheep are said to be the most dumb animals, he said, they have remarkable characteristics. They have a singular faculty to hear and recognize the voice of shepherds, of the shepherd rather, and they follow only the voice that they know. And this is true. In other words, sheep They have this ability to recognize the voice of their shepherd, and they follow no one else. They follow no strangers. Now, this is something that as we come to the Bible, that God has given you and I that ability. In other words, God doesn't just save us and leave us hanging. God doesn't just save us and leave us out in the wilderness. We talked a little bit this morning about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When God saves us, He puts His Spirit, His divine nature in us. He has anointed us. He's given us an unction from on high that we will not follow the false prophets, but we'll only follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say this. I believe I'm close when I say this. There's at least two doors, different doors, and maybe three. In verse 1, the door here is the door into the sheepfold. And I'm going to try my best to explain what I mean by that. In verses 7, we find here there is the door of the sheep. And then in verse 9, there is the door of salvation. There is more than one door that is mentioned. Now, Jesus said He is the door. And still yet, at the same time, we know that He enters a door according to this passage. So there's got to be at least two different types of doors that are mentioned here. Now, we know what a door is. A door is an entrance way. It's a way of access. So first of all, let's talk about Jesus entering the door of the sheepfold. That is very important. In verse 1 again, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door." Now keep in mind, there is a porter. There is a door. There is a sheepfold. There is sheep in that fold. And we find that the good shepherd enters into the door the proper way. The robbers and the thieves, that is the Pharisees and the scribes, they pretend to be spiritual leaders of the Jews at this time, but many of them were not God appointed. Instead of helping souls, they robbed them. We read as we come to chapter 9, the blind man, Jesus Christ healed him. And then we find that the Pharisees and many of the Jews, they got angry. And they accused Christ of being a sinner and having a devil in him and so forth. And then in chapter 9 in verse 34, they cast the blind man out of the synagogue. They did not want this man that was healed. He said, "I believe in the Messiah," and they cast him out. They did not want him there. So we find then that the first door that we're going to talk about is a door that is into the sheepfold. In other words, the shepherd would go in and call his sheep, and then he would lead them out so that they could have pasture to eat from and water to drink. And so we're going to say that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd that enters in by the right way. Now look at this again. He says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold." That's the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. By the way, bank robbers, what do? They deprive people of their money, do they not? These people deprive individuals of spiritual truth, like they did with the blind man after that he was healed. They didn't want him around. They cast him out. So he says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but he that climbeth up some other way," notice, "the same is a thief and a robber." Again, he's continuing talking about the Pharisees. Verse 2, "But," here's the contrast. He says, "But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now that porter would be guarding that sheepfold all night long. The next morning, the shepherds would come for their sheep. They didn't have to climb over a wall. All they had to do is walk through the door. The porter let them in, and they walked through the door, and they called out for their sheep, and the sheep heard the voice, recognized the voice, and followed the shepherd out. Now, the reason I'm saying this way is that I want you to know that in this passage, he's saying that there is one. He's continuing to deal with the deity of Jesus Christ. He's continuing to confirm the fact that He is Messiah, and that these others are false prophets and false teachers. He said in verse 2, "And he that entereth in by the door," notice, "is the shepherd of the sheep." And then in verse 3, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep," notice, "hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 23. There's many shepherds, but most of them are false shepherds. Notice in Jeremiah, we're going to go to chapter 23. If you're taking notes this evening, you might want to write down Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, Isaiah 56 and in verse 10. Now, first of all, in Jeremiah chapter 23, let's go down to verse 21 and read this verse first of all. Now, I was talking to someone this morning, and I was also talking to someone on the same subject just 3 days ago about how do we know that we're trusting in the true Messiah. Every chapter in John has confirmed Old Testament fulfillment, you know, of verses and prophecies of the coming of Messiah. We were knocking on doors today on Dolphin Island, and as a lady came to the door, and I handed her a gospel tract, a brochure from the church, and first of all, she said, "I'm Jewish." And then, of course, she said, "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah." Now, I was speaking with someone just a few days ago talking about this, and one of the ways that we know, just one of the ways, there's many, that we are trusting in the true Messiah is that in Daniel 9 speaks to us of the exact timing that Jesus Christ would come. They could narrow that thing down to the very year, or at least within a few years, of the coming of Jesus Christ. There's many today say we're still looking for a Messiah. Well, I've asked Christians, I say, how do you know that you are trusting in the right Messiah? Many came before Jesus. Many have come after him, and there's many still looking for the Messiah to come. We've got Reverend Moon that claims to be the second Messiah. How do we know that we have the true Messiah? Well, we have many prophecies as to where he'd be born, how he would be born, the details of the place, and all of these things. But the main one to me in the Old Testament is Daniel 9 and the very fact that he had to come in the early part of the first century. So, as we began looking at these things, John chapter 10, again, is just more confirmation that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. Now, here's the thing. He said the thieves and robbers, that is the Pharisees, scribes, so forth. He said they try to climb over the wall. In other words, they don't enter in through the door and the sheepfold the proper way. The shepherd, the true shepherd, all he has to do is walk through the door as the porter would open the door. The porter would recognize him, by the way. Now I'm building up to something here. The porter would open the door, would recognize the shepherd. He would walk into the sheepfold. He would call out for his sheep. His sheep would recognize his voice, and then he'd lead them out in the green pasture. Well, the porter, I believe, was John the Baptist. It was John the Baptist that introduced the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. It was John the Baptist that identified there that day when he baptized the Lord, that identified him. And the voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus came to this earth and he entered in among the Jews. And he went, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but I want you to understand that he came in the legitimate way. He came in the appointed entrance. He didn't have to climb over. He didn't have to pretend this or that. I want you to understand the Old Testament prophecies back here. They mark out the proper way that Messiah would come. And guess what? Jesus Christ fulfilled every prophecy that was written down in the Old Testament. So he came through the door, and as a legitimate Messiah, and as he called his voice, those began to come out of Judaism, out of that sheepfold, and he led them out to pasture. Now notice in Jeremiah, I'm going to be reading in Jeremiah chapter 23, and I'm going to be reading verse 21. And he said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, and yet they prophesied. In this chapter, much of this chapter is dealing with this kind of thing about shepherds. And then in Ezekiel 34 is dealing with it as well. But notice in Jeremiah chapter 23 began in verse 1. We find here that in verse 1 he said, woe unto the pastors, that is the leaders, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my sheep. He said, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up standards over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Now look at the next two verses. God is saying there's some false leaders, there's some false shepherds in His day, but He talks about Messiah. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise up unto David a righteous branch. This is Jesus Christ. And a king, and shall reign and prosper, and he shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. These Old Testament passages speak much about prophets and shepherds and leaders and so forth. But we find that Jesus Christ entered that door. Turn back with me to John chapter 10. Reading in verse 2. Now keep in mind, the Pharisees, they're trying to climb over. They're pretending. They're deceitful and they're robbers. They're robbing people of truth. In verse 2, the Bible said, and he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So Jesus Christ enters in the proper way. And then in verse 3, we find to him the porter openeth. If you go back to chapter 1, and especially verse 31, you'll find that John the Baptist said, here's the Messiah, here's the Son of God. This is the one that was promised. So the porter, I believe, opened the door into the sheepfold. And we find that in verse 3, and to him the porter openeth. And the sheep, notice, hear his voice. There's a couple of things that are important in verses 2. If you back up there in verse 3 and look at these verses together, that marks the qualities and duty of the good shepherd. We find that he loved them and he cared for them and he came to rescue them and redeem them. We find that in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, notice, and leadeth them out. Now Jesus Christ came to Judaism, and the door was open for him. He came the proper way according to prophecy, and he came into the sheepfold, and he called out his sheep. In other words, as he began preaching the Word of God, and people began responding to the Word of God, and he called them out of Judaism. He led them out. Where did he carry them? He carried them to good pasture. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 23. In Psalms chapter 23, the Lord led them. Why do they need good pasture? For nourishment, for fulfillment, for well-being. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 23, many of you can quote this, if you want a reference on the porter and what a porter does, the porter opens and guards the door. In chapter 18 of John, verses 16 and 17, you'll find an illustration there with that. Notice with me now as we come here to this passage. You see, we're talking about the genuine shepherd. We're talking about the fact that he was qualified, that he came, he fulfilled every prophecy. We find that in chapter 1, or chapter 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down, notice, in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, that they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I read these verses, and I think about the Good Shepherd leading the sheep out of the sheepfold, through the door, they hear His voice. Well, the Bible says here in verse 2, He said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And look at that. And it says, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. Turning back with me, please, to the book of John in chapter 10. Reading in verse 3 again. You see, He says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep, notice, hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name. Notice, and He leadeth them out. The Lord led them out. He led them to saving knowledge of Him. He led them unto redemption. And again, we find that we have the anointing. That doesn't mean that we know everything. But by having the anointing, that means, without any doubt, that we know the Lord as our Savior. The Bible tells us that He knows us, and that we know Him. There is that connection there that we have with Him. As we come to verse 4, He said, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Notice the emphasis that is placed. In verse 27, we find that He said, and my sheep, He says, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These things are very clear. I've got a message I preached not a long time ago out of verse 27. And He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. He said, and I know them and they follow me. He knows us and we know Him. That is the anointing of the unction that God has given to us by the Holy Spirit. Coming back with me to verse 4, He said, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. As that shepherd walks in the sheepfold, He leads them out. Why? When we think about the Lord's ministry, He led many. He led many out of Judaism into what we know now to be Christianity, the Messiah. The disciples, He came to them in Matthew 4. And He began and He talked to Peter and them, and they left their nets and they followed Him. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. He saw the Lord and he followed the Lord. Philip in John chapter 1 saw the Lord and he followed the Lord. The Lord led them out. Now, as we move on in this passage, I'm going to read down to at least verse 10 tonight. He says in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow. Now think about that. You know what you do with your children? You give them warning, you teach them, and you tell them not to, sometimes not to even speak to strangers, but for sure don't take anything from them and don't follow them. But the Lord has done the same thing with you and I. But the Lord's given us a safeguard. He's put His Spirit within us. And He says here in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow. Those who belong to a particular shepherd, they will not follow a stranger. He says in this passage, He says that in verse 5, but will flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then He said, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were. Let me read that again. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. We know that when parables are given, there's some understand and some don't. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, we find that the Lord spoke in parables, and on the one hand, people were illuminated, those who were followers of the Lord. But those who rejected Him, they were blinded by this, just like the children of Israel. We find that when they came out of Egypt, the Israelites, they had a fire that guided them. But we find there was a darkness on the other side, on the Egyptian side, whereby they were blinded. Well, as we read on, He said in verse 7, He said, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, notice, I am the door of the sheep. Now Jesus entered a door Himself to lead out sheep from the sheepfold, to lead them to pastures whereby they can be nourished and so forth. Now the Lord is saying in verse 7, He's saying, I am the door of the sheep. And I want you to notice when he says, I am the door, he's talking about access unto the Father. The door of the sheep here is to be distinguished from the door of the sheepfold, as we just read in verse 1. We find that we have access now to God, Ephesians 2:18, by the Spirit of God unto the Father. He says in Hebrews 10:13, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Well, he said in verse 7, then he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. There have been many false prophets and false Christs, false messiahs that have come over the years. And the Lord is simply saying that the true elect, so we're talking about the elect and the non-elect, but the true elect, they did not follow the Reverend Moons of this world. They did not follow the false prophets. They knew who the true prophet was. How did they know? The sheep understand the voice. And we find that every person that is a true believer today, they know the voice of God. That doesn't mean that we know everything. That doesn't mean that we might believe something that's wrong. But that means that we will not follow another Christ, another Messiah. Notice with me in verse 8. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, he said, and by the way, let me give you one other verse. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11 just for a moment. In Luke chapter 11 on these false prophets, back up with me just for a moment. Luke chapter 11, he talks about thieves and robbers, robbing people of spiritual truths that are found in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 11, I'm going to take one verse from this chapter and I'm going to read in verse 52. Look at this carefully. He said, woe unto the lawyers, for you have taken away, you ought to underline this, the key of knowledge. Ye entered not into yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. The key of knowledge, key, has to do that which unlocks the door, whereby the door can be opened. The key of knowledge here is the truth. It's the gospel. It's the keys of the kingdom. You know what the lawyers did in Jesus' day? They entered not in themselves, and they hindered others from entering in. We still have those in our day. Notice with me back in John chapter 10. In verse 9 this time, he said in verse 9, he said, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In and out and find pasture. I want you to notice with me, please, that as we read the next verse, a very important verse in this chapter, that he says here in verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Isn't that what the scribes and Pharisees did? They hindered the truth from being preached. They denied the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice that he said in verse 10, he said, I am come that they might have life. John chapter 5 and verse 24, that's eternal life or everlasting life. And he said, and that they might have it more abundantly. Then he gets back into talking about, he says he's the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep in verse 11. Then he talks about in verse 12 and 13 the hireling. And then he says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me. Even so, I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we find now, listen in verse 10, that the Lord came to give us life. But He came to give us that life more abundantly. Turn with me, please, to Romans 5, and we'll close here. In Romans chapter 5, we could call this the abundant life. And when we think about this, not only did God save us, not only did He give us eternal life or everlasting life, but He gave us that which abounds. When we think about the fact that He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly, this is not just mere existence. This is not just the essentials of life, but it has to do with abundance. It has to do with blessings. It has to do with happiness. It has to do with fulfillment and joy and peace, as we spoke about this morning. I want to close in one verse in this chapter, comparing Adam with Christ, law with grace. Notice as we come here and we'll close with this. He says in verse 20, notice with me in verse 20. He said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That means to increase. But where sin abounded, please notice, grace did much more abound. To have came to give us life more abundantly. That means to have an abundance. To have a surplus. That which is overflowing. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment. The Lord not only came to save you and I, but He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. He came to bless us. He came, as John says, that we'd have a spirit within us that it was overflow. He came to bring joy and peace in our lives. Not just eternal life. The icing on the cake is that He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. One of the reasons that we end up so miserable in this life is that we don't understand this, as we spoke this morning about the Spirit of God, about being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Most people do not do that. Most Christians are walking in the flesh and praying in the flesh. And we come of men most miserable when we live our lives that way. God said, Jesus said, I came to give you life and I came to give it to you more abundantly. Listen, there ought to be so much joy. I'm not saying we don't have problems. I just spoken to you about some of the difficulties that we're going through. But the thing about it is, the average Christian, the average person in the world today, I should say, live under the circumstances. How many times have you asked somebody, well, how are you doing? And they say, well, under the circumstances, I guess okay. You know? Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. He came not only to save us. If all He was going to do is save us from hell, why didn't He take us home? But He came that we might be a blessing to others. He came that we might carry out the commission that He's given to us. And He came that you and I might have life more abundantly. And that can only be from the inside out. Walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, understanding the truths, rejoicing in the truths that God has given to you and I. I'm telling you, these are wonderful verses. These things that we talked about this past Wednesday night, these things work if we will believe them. If we will just believe them. We're going to close right here, and we'll pick up, and we're going to talk about... You can read the chapter...